Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Domain and have your people moving. That's a small glimpse into an empty movement. To anybody still confused after what he was doing. Make right the hood to keep us trapped. The red line is probably the crime if you live by black. I don't think they hear me though. Okay. Gentrify your own hood before these people do it. Claim eminent domain and have your people moving. That's a small glimpse into what Nipsey was doing. If anybody still confused after what he was doing. The neighborhood designed to keep us trapped. They redlined it so property climbs if you live by black. They depress the assets and take the property back. It's a ruthless but a genius plan in fact. So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in the barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel. They ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gon' act like we act. We can easily get out the barrel, we stand on each other's back. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they can pull everybody out. I was doing just that. I told neighborhood nips, stay close. $100 million on your schedule, lay low. Tell your team to be on point in the places that they go. I never dreamed to get killed in the place that he called home. How we gon' get in power, we choose the source. Y'all like to run off on the plug, so of course. That ain't lit, that's a means to an end. Me and my team was playing the plug and had a plan. Sometimes he's only making $1,000 a joint. That ain't no money, but that ain't their point. So those 92 bricks was only 92 thousand. So y'all can close your mouth, it ain't nothing for y'all to lie. But it is fun to study. We was chasing our goals, not chasing money. Niggas chasing hoes, we find that funny. I pull up in the rows, that hoe gon' want me. But I don't want no hoe, I want a wife. Somebody to bounce these ideas off at night. I be going to sleep, hoping they visit me. That young king had a lot of jewels to split with me. And we ain't gotta leave the hood physically, but we gotta leave that shit physically. Somehow, some way, I'm gonna make it up out the hood someday.
Today's Hits to My House is titled Jay-Z, Gentrification, and E-Commerce. Live stream number 619-768-2945. We're going to play a response video to Jay-Z's little jazz on gentrification and get your feedback as well. We're going to play this and then come back.
Welcome to Tone Talk. Welcome to Tone Talk. Welcome to Tone Talk. How's everybody doing today? This is Antonio Moore coming to you from Tone Talks. Wanted to shoot a brief video giving my take on Jay-Z talking about gentrifying your hood and just tell y'all I don't feel that Jay-Z knows what he's talking about. So you had this recent, show that he did. I believe it was at Webster Hall, and he did this weird kind of little jazz rap. But in some ways, what I see is that Jay-Z has basically decided that he's going to take black super capitalism that came out of hip-hop and rap it in ADOS blackness, and none of that makes sense. When I say ADOS, American Descent, slavery, politics, talking about all of the Black Lives Matter backdrop, the reality of black people pushing forward to talk about like wealth inequality and life. But what you see is that he doesn't have the educational background or the political acumen to understand what's going on. I don't think that somebody who uses the word gentrify in the context that Jay-Z has used it understands that gentrification is a process of pushing black folks out that come from slavery and Jim Crow, replacing them with white folks that are basically cups of capital so that white businesses come in that didn't come in when black people lived there. Come on. I just came from Louisville. Dr. Kevin Cosby, shout out to him, has a mega church and has bought property all around that mega church in Louisville, not too far from the downtown. And literally, they don't have a standing restaurant within 2 to 3 miles of that church because it's black folks that are literally making, I think the median income is like $25,000 for a family or something like that, and the median wealth level is near zero. So what he does not understand, him and Jay-Z, is the positionality of black folks in terms of economics. This is not about being negative. This is about being real about how black folks have been cheated. But how do you expect Jay-Z to know better when he did what he did with Brooklyn? We look at the Brooklyn Nets. They came up with a whole new rule, the NBA. We included it in our report, what we get wrong about closing the racial wealth gap. You can find that on the Duke website. Did it with Sandy Darity, one of the leading economists in the area of intergenerational wealth. And what we found is that there's this new rule called the Jay-Z rule where you can't have 100 NBA owners on one team so that Jay-Z or somebody like him owns less than 1% and is used as a face man. But then you look at dig even deeper, and it was a big old ploy and led to gentrification that pushed black folks out of Brooklyn. It was supposed to bring jobs. Those jobs never came, meaning the stadium, the little basketball arena. But then I think for Jay-Z now to be speaking about gentrification incorrectly, it creates misinformation for a generation of black people. It tells them that you are the reason that you're failing, not capital. It doesn't even give context to the fact that black folks own a mere $200 liquid in Los Angeles, a mere $11 liquid in Miami, a mere $8 liquid in Boston. I'm not guessing, I do data. One of the things that we see is that Jay-Z does not understand you are part of capital now. You don't stand with us, you stand against us. When you look at capital, the bottom 90% now has the same amount of wealth as the top 0.1. The top 0.1. Jay-Z is part of that infrastructure to keep you thinking that you're the reason that your neighborhood is failing. You're not the reason your neighborhood is failing. They created your neighborhood in many cases to fail. Outside bar New York and like Los Angeles, you go to Mississippi and Louisiana and Georgia and all kind of cities. What you see is that black folks' neighborhoods are near the worst areas often. And when they're not, somehow white folks find a way to zone it so that you can't make no money. I'm saying to you, this is not a process of black people misusing their money, not buying property, black people not wanting to be American. This is a creation by America. You had a man in Jay-Z who talked about gentrifying your neighborhood before these people do it. Say it straight and say it full-throated with your chest, bro. Say white people. But see, he can't say white people and still sell Beyonce tickets. He can't sell t-shirts or whatever else products he got to sell white people at these concerts. I don't think Jay-Z has been honest. I think one of the things we as black people got to understand is that he doesn't have a high school diploma and that might play a role. I don't care what business success you believe him to have. We're going to leave out title and the failure in title before you tell me he's a success. We're going to leave out the Brooklyn Nets and the fact that he didn't ever really own much of the team at all. We just gonna talk about the reality that's right in front of us. That in many ways, Jay-Z's lack of education is showing up. And because in high school you learn about the basic American history and civics, I don't see him understanding that black folks were slaves and that Jim Crow happened. I see him recreating a narrative like we just got here when hip hop started, and we didn't. You can't take white super capital and cloak it in hip hop and make us all feel like we got a chance. I don't believe that we haven't gentrified the hood, and that's why we don't have wealth. The reason we don't have wealth is they designed black folks not to have wealth. Middle black family in this country is worth $1,700 without depreciating assets. Understand that the middle white family is worth $140,000. Literally, little to no wealth transfers in a nation built on wealth transfers. They built the estate tax so that it basically keeps up the system that they've had in place since the turn of the 1900s when slavery ended. Fundamentally, Jay-Z needs to take a lesson in economics before he uses all these words and lyrics and language because he don't understand what the words mean. It was real good back in the day, but you 50-something now. Get your weight up. Put the money to the side. Go back, get your high school diploma, and let's talk about the wealth. Let's talk about the reality that black folks across this country are struggling. Let's not make black folks think that it's because they haven't gentrified a hood that they don't have wealth. I understand it feels like it's empowering, but in reality, just like we're doing with ADOS, we need to push government. We need to push the nation to recognize that they created us in a way where more black men are incarcerated than all women on the planet. I'll say that again. More black men are incarcerated than all women on the planet. What's gentrifying the hood gonna do when you ain't got no black families? No way. There's 4 billion women, almost about 600 to 700,000 are incarcerated on the whole planet. Black men that descend from slavery in America, 20 million of us have produced more more of us are incarcerated than all the women on the planet are just about the same. Understand what that means. That means that this is not about just economics. This is about a social plan. So when I say to Jay-Z today, we got to get honest about the consequences of being black in America and stop looking for quick answers that make it so that all we got to do is gentrify our way out of it. This is Tone Talk. Please go to tonetalks.org to subscribe or donate. Share this channel. Again, I'm going to be on Dash Radio, Dash Talk X, this Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as I always am. I did an article called The Decadent Veil. I recommend everybody go out, check that article out. Stay tuned and listen in for my video on black wealth in America. It's important for us to get real and get honest about where we at positionally.
Tone Talks presents the reality behind the racial wealth gap. In America, we understand race as a literal foot race, where whites just got a lead based on efforts, when in actuality, due to several hundred years of slavery and 100 years of Jim Crow, black people were more like the shoes whites wore down to run forward economically. The recent data from the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances tells a story that even though the media shows us young black millionaires like Steph Curry and LeBron James, without the family car, the middle black family is worth just over $4,000, while the middle white family is worth over $140,000 using the same accounting. In fact, according to the Federal Reserve data, the middle or 50th percentile black family is equivalent in wealth to the 20th percentile white family. In terms of wealth, black middle is the equivalent of white poor. The upper echelon of wealth tells us much the same story, showing that white America makes up nearly all of our nation's top 1%, with only 380,000 black families having a net worth more than even a single $1 million. All while, according to the new data, 15% of white families are worth more than $1 million, and over $1 million white American families are worth more than $10 million. The racial wealth difference isn't just a gap. It's a seismic hole that's only growing and needs policy immediately to fix it. Subscribe to learn more at ToneTalks.org.
I can literally have a field day on Tone Talks commentary just now. Sentence by sentence. Today's podcast is titled Jay-Z, Gentrification, and E-Commerce, 619-768-2945 is the live stream number. Let's take a quick call right now, see what they have to say. Here he goes, 6-4, your mic is open.
Yeah, good morning, sir. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just heard that little clip there that you played about the income gap on with certain groups of people, and I just feel like that is that's kind of a foolish argument or statement to put out. Because to insinuate things, you're making it sound like as if there's a group of people that decide who, how much, and who this is.
Okay, could you repeat that? Because you were you're going in and out.
I'm saying the argument against the income gap and stuff is a foolish argument because it's not you have like a group of people that decide who gets how much money and divvies it up and says, oh, this group can get this percentage and this group can get that percentage. It comes down to the life choices people make over life, whether through their parents or their grandparents, that determine financially where people are at. And even in that clip, he acknowledged there's something like the long lines of more than 380,000 families, black families, that have at least a net worth of $1 million or more. And then he said there was something along the lines of about $1 million or more white families that have a net worth of more than $1 million. And it's like, you know, even in that clip, I mean, look at the numbers of 380,000 compared to 1 million. When blacks are, what, 13% of the population?
Right.
So this idea that just because you're a black or white means anything is ridiculous. There's just as there's lots of – obviously, if you've been around the country, you know, there's a ton of broke white people that live in trailer parks all over this country. So just being white doesn't automatically mean you get anything. And just being black doesn't mean you're automatically poor. I know a lot of blacks growing up there, their families are doing really well. So the argument of the income gap isn't a legitimate argument because people have different situations. Like, if your parents make good choices, it's going to make your life easier, and you're probably going to get more opportunities.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%.
Then why do you allow that narrative to be, like, put out there? Because it's trying to put this idea into people's minds that you're somehow a victim of this whole income gap, and it's taking away the personal responsibility that we have, like, as adults right now, especially as men, we should realize the choices you and I make are going to have a huge impact on the futures of our children. And if we take personal responsibility for our lives and try to make good, sound choices, both financially, how we conduct ourselves, you know, obviously avoiding going to prison, making sure we work hard and try to create a stable life and help our children go to college and, you know, hopefully have a college fund of some kind, and then we can put them in position to be successful financially, and they can be part of that upper middle to upper class, upper middle class, or maybe higher, if we can help create opportunities for them. Instead of this, woe is me, oh, I'm a victim of these circumstances, I can't do anything about it, therefore now I'm not personally responsible for the choices I make. I mean, come on, man. That's a losing way of thinking.
I agree. The reason why I played that piece is I was sent that piece this morning on Facebook as a podcast topic for today. So I listened to that, what I just played, And then I went and listened to Jay-Z, because that's how I opened up the program today. I went and played Jay-Z's, I think he was talking about the song that Jay-Z was talking about. I opened up the program with that today, and then followed that with the piece that you just heard. Now I have another audio piece by a black couple that earned, that are actually doing what Jay-Z suggested. Gentrify your own hood. It's a black couple. I'm about to play them. Black couple, got them off of YouTube, and they have sent you, that's why I titled this Jay-Z Gentrification and E-Commerce, because they're giving instruction on, and they don't play, they're black, but they don't play the race card. And they're earning like $7,000 to $10,000 a month by running hosting three Airbnb locations. So they're not blaming anybody. They're taking advantage of the infinite amount of opportunities out here. So we're going to play that right now and then come back for more commentary.
Hey, guys, it's Amon
and Christina from
Our
Rich
Journey. I am so excited about today's video because we are finally going to answer the question that we get all the time about Airbnb. And it was, how was our experience as hosts? If you've been watching our channel, you know that we're real estate investors. And at one point, we had three Airbnbs all going at once in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we were making about $7,000 to $10,000 a month doing Airbnb. Well, on today's video, we are going to share with you what we learned and give you guys some tips if you are thinking about starting an Airbnb.
So in this video, we have 10 tips to share with you. These 10 tips we use throughout our Airbnb experience to be great hosts and to generate a lot of side income.
Number one is have a business plan. That is something that, yes, if you have an Airbnb, it is a business, and you should treat it as such. So what we recommend is identifying really what you want to accomplish with your Airbnb from a business standpoint. How much money do you want to make? How much you'll charge? Who is your target audience? All of those things are things that you should identify in a plan for your Airbnb.
As part of your business plan, you really need to understand the rules and regulations for your city as it pertains to Airbnbs. Now, these ordinances may restrict the amount of income that you can have or restrict the amount of days that you can have your property listed on Airbnb, so you really have to understand that because that's really going to impact your bottom line.
And regulations are always things that will affect your business. Again, this is a business, and we really want to stress that.
And number two is understand that an Airbnb property is a lot different than a long-term rental property. With an Airbnb property, you're really in the business of customer service and hospitality.
And like Christina said, this is a hospitality business. So if you have a rental property, it's really a passive business. It's a passive income generating business. Your tenants go there, they stay there for years and years, they send you a check every month, maybe you never even talk to them. But with an Airbnb, you are dealing with people every single day. You are changing out sheets, maybe every other day. You are actively engaged in running your Airbnb.
And in certain instances where you're not doing the work yourself, if you're not changing the sheets yourself, if you're not cleaning the units yourself, you still have to supervise those people that are doing those things.
Okay, so now that we have those two tips out of the way, let's talk about what we learned doing our business. And so the third tip is develop a nice check-in plan. And for us, it was having something like a self-check-in system. So all of our units had an automatic lock or an automated lock that we put on the doors so that when tenants or guests arrived, they could check themselves in without us being there.
So the check-in process is really the first experience that the guests are going to have when they come to your property. By installing a keyless entry, our guests could check in and leave whenever they wanted, and they didn't have to rely on us to be there whenever they needed to get in for the first time. It makes for a very seamless check-in process, and it really reflects on your ratings when the guests leave also.
And number four is having a professional photographer take pictures of your unit. Now, when we first started, we took our initial pictures ourselves. The pictures weren't bad, but when we brought in the pro, it was amazing. I wanted to live in that Airbnb. Well, everyone should want to live in your Airbnb. But the point is that when you do something like an Airbnb, treat it like a business, go all out. But take those costs into account when you're developing your business plan.
Now, depending on where you live, Airbnb sometimes offers free professional photography, and that's what we use. But it depends on where you live. Sometimes they'll charge, and sometimes you can get it for free, so you should check that out. But you should definitely not underestimate the power of a very good professional photo. And number five is understand the spacing of your property. If you want to get more people in, you can do that by using more bed space. You can put in bunk beds, you can do a couch that rolls out into a bed, but the more beds you have, the more people you can have in the property, and the more you can charge.
Now, there is a drawback to having too many beds and too many people in your house. The wear and tear goes up a lot faster. So this goes back to your business plan. Do you want to have an Airbnb that is just for one person or two people, or an Airbnb that is for 12 people? That all depends on your plan and the space that you have available. And number six is continue to talk to your neighbors about their experience living next to your Airbnb unit, because there are adjustments that you can make to mitigate any of the negative impacts that it has to your neighbors. Now, not all neighbors are going to like your Airbnb, but that is up to you to kind of figure out how that situation works. For us, it was never a problem with our neighbors because we had really good communication with them.
And number seven is understand that cleanliness is key. No one wants to walk into a dirty Airbnb. And I'm talking about really detailed cleaning. Get all the dust, get all the grease off of the kitchen counter. Everything should be spotless.
Yeah, it should be immaculate. Because imagine going over someone's house or going to an Airbnb. You go to lay down and there is a hair on your pillow. The whole trip is ruined. It could just be one single hair. But that was the level of detail that we got to. We had immaculate Airbnbs. We could go over them. We could eat off the floor of our Airbnbs. They were so clean. And this ties into number eight, which is have white linens, sheets, and towels. When people come into your Airbnb, if they see the color white, they associate that with cleanliness. And so it's really nice to keep those types of colors around in your Airbnb. You don't want to use black towels or brown towels because they're going to think you're hiding something. But white is really something that is universal, especially when you're trying to create a luxury brand.
And number nine, and this goes back to understanding that you're in the hospitality business. Number nine is to make sure that you have different amenities in your house. This means a coffee maker, a hair dryer, even shampoo, conditioner, different soaps. These things should all be available in your Airbnb.
And number 10 is have a gift for the guests when they arrive. So we'd always leave someone some chocolate, some fruit. We made them feel as welcome as possible, because all this goes into the Airbnb reviews. We were so fortunate that we always had 5 stars, and people would always mention that when they came to our Airbnb, they loved the gift, the white linen sheets, the cleanliness. These were all things that contribute to how successful your Airbnb is, because Airbnbs are supposed to be different than the hotel experience. They are supposed to be something very unique, living in someone's house or living in someone's treehouse, whatever the case may be. And providing someone with a gift, it really sets the tone up front. So these are our 10 tips that we obtained from our experience doing Airbnb. You may have a different experience, and you know what? We would love to hear about them in the comments below. But if you've liked this video, please give it a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and join the journey.
And that's a couple. They just happen to be African American. That are doing what Jay-Z suggested in his song. They are, like you heard in the audio from them, they are operating 3 Airbnb locations, earning between $7,000 to $10,000 per month. Not marching, not protesting. The guy, like I said, Tone Talks, if he ever steps on this platform for that audio, I haven't heard the rest of his stuff, but on that particular audio about Jay-Z, the first thing, I'd eat him live. The high school diploma or the college degree, particularly in today's economy, basically means almost spit or mean spit. And I've got both. All right. There's a different we're in an age of rapid change right now where if you don't believe in continuing education, you better start believing continuing education. And I'm not talking about, in some cases, depending on what your interests are, you might have to go to a traditional brick-and-mortar school. However, there's things that are moving via the internet in real time that you're going to have to learn. Well, I suggest you learn. And one of them is e-commerce. You know, one of them is e-commerce. That is the de facto way that many people are trading globally now. Building communities, offline communities at that. More relevant schools that are opening. I mean, via, you know, all you can do conference calls, you can do webinars, things of that nature. So, in the let me give you the last two people that we played, the audio, which is an African-American couple, their YouTube page, their YouTube channel, rather, is titled Our Rich Journey. Our Rich Journey. And they've got a slew of videos on there that give you some good information on how to earn extra income, passive income, just a lot of good information. One video I'm looking at, the cost of retiring abroad in Portugal and Thailand. I mean, they've got some good videos on it. All right, they're not waving the ADOS flag. When there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying the ADOS crowd, the reparations crowd are getting left in the dust because they're not looking at what's going on right now. See, what happened 200, 300, 400 years ago? You know, it's good to learn, know some history. All right? I love studying up on history. Okay? However, what's going on right now in 2019 in real time? You have people, matter of fact, once again, going to YouTube. You have people on YouTube of all colors, of all races, that they're in on this e-commerce thing, man. You know, making money with your cell phone, making money with your tablet, notebook, desktop, getting paid via Cash App or Zelle or Apple Pay or the other ways that you can get paid these days. All right, some societies on a global basis right now, particularly in Asia, some of them are basically almost cashless societies. You know? So, you know, you can tone talks whoever you are. You're going to get left in the dust, man. That's all I can say. But this, like I say, a college degree and a high school diploma, like I've got both. Right now, in the last 5 years, I've had to enroll in law school, not because I want to become an attorney. It's because if you're going to live or have any dealings in a larger city in the United States, it is of my opinion that you need to have some basics of law. You might not need to enroll in law school. Maybe you can take some paralegal course. Maybe you can go to the public library and start reading on stuff. But you're going to have to protect yourself, and I think you need to know some basics of the law, even if it's just reading books at your leisure. When it comes to income, e-commerce, I mean, you got people on e-commerce. Once again, go back to YouTube. typing, and I've repeated this every day this week, and I'm going to repeat it, continually repeat it on a repeat, is if you type in $20,000 per month, or even $20,000 per week, $100,000 per month, $100,000 per week, there are people of all colors, of all races, and all religions right now in 2019 that are making that kind of money. And it's all legal, and it's primarily done through e-commerce. They're not teaching this in high school. They're not teaching this in your most prestigious high schools or colleges or grad schools here in the United States. You have to get online, mix it up within social media circles, and learn this stuff. Like, now, once again, Our Rich Journey. If you want to learn how to earn $7,000 to $10,000 a month without going to a brick-and-mortar place that you might hate, and, you know, you got to have gas in the car and brakes are good and all this other stuff, Our Rich Journey, it's a black couple. You can go to YouTube, watch their videos, and then if you have any questions of them, okay, click on their About section on YouTube. And on their channel, you can get directly in touch with them via Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and they have their own website, ourrichjourney.com. It can't get any sweeter or better than that. Now, because one thing we got to do, in my opinion, African Americans need to do, we got to start thinking bigger. Because whatever yearly income that you make now, and this is anybody of any color in the United States, if you earn $50,000 a year right now, you better start working on how you can earn $50,000 per month. It's coming. It's called inflation. Now, while still staying on YouTube and thinking bigger, let's punch in $100,000 per month. There's a whole slew of videos on YouTube on how you can earn $100,000 per month through Amazon, eBay, and so on and so on and so forth. So, okay. There's one video I'm looking at, how I sell $1 million worth of $1 million per month on Amazon. Now, I'm gonna click on it. All right. The video is made by Ryan Daniel Moran.
$11,000.
Okay, wait a minute. Now let me go to his about on his channel. All right. You can reach him. Now, this is a guy that does $1 million per month via Amazon. You can go to his site. He's got a Facebook page you can go to, an Instagram page you can go to, and he's got his own website. So, the hell with fucking reparations, man. Let me get in touch directly with people like this. Let's do another one. Okay, let's do another one. Okay. How to make $100,000 per month. Oh, hold on, I want to pick another one. That's on affiliate marketing, which we're going to go through that. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, here's a guy. $65,000 per month. The title of the video is, here's how I made $65,000 per month in real estate in 2017. And you go, you click on his channel.
You want to make extra cash with real estate?
Oh, doggone it. Okay, let me. Okay, let's go to his about on his channel. This is Graham Steven. He's got an email address available. He's got an Instagram, a website, or maybe two websites, and he's got Snapchat.
So for the $480,000 that I made from the first.
Okay. It's endless, people. It's endless. Let me do. Okay. I'm trying to find. But look, what I would suggest, and I'm doing, I do this daily now, all through the night. I go through YouTube and essentially watch videos of high income, or what we call high, what most people call high income earners, and study, and then, you know, basically I'm in the process of modeling what they do. And, you know, it could be as simple. Oh, here's another one. Quinn Nolan, 18-year-old makes $100,000 per month online. All right, well, let's go to Quinn Nolan's channel. And let's go to about. Okay, now I don't see. Now you probably have to reach him through, the comment section. If you don't see anything, most of these people have ways to contact them on the about part of their channel on YouTube. However, there are some that don't have that information, and the best way to reach these people is via the comment section. All right, so here's another one. How I make $30,000 per month on Amazon with no experience. Let's go to his channel.
Hey, what's up?
All right, wait a minute. Jordan is his name. All right, we're going to. All right, with Jordan, you're going to have to reach him. You know, that's the thing about millennials, man. They make it hard to reach him sometimes. You got to reach him through his comments. But there are plenty of them. There are plenty of people on YouTube, that you can reach them directly through whatever. I mean, it could be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever way they put on it. Start make one, if you can, make one friend a day with somebody who earns 25. You know what? Let's include our Rich Journey people that earn, let's say, $10,000 and up per month. Between 10,000, I mean, you. They're never ending. They're always popping up new on the thing. So now, and I'm with that. Okay. Let's take the figure of $100. All right. There's something that everybody out here can do and earn $100 within a day. All right. And we're talking about an 8-hour day. All right. Now, what I want you to do right now is this. Because this is the power of e-commerce and affiliate marketing and collaborations. Multiply. E-commerce allows you to take that $100. And if you can do some collaborations with people, and that's only limited to your imagination, multiply $100 times 100. And what figure do you come back with? And that figure is what you can do on a daily basis. E-commerce allows you, and social media allows you to multiply your efforts by 100, 1,000, whatever you want. And the how to do it is, once again, going to the people that are on all over social media. And reaching out to them directly and saying, look, we had one on here a couple of days ago. Coach C. He spoke to us for about a good hour, if not a good hour, 15 minutes, and shared with us how you can make money not only on Airbnb. He mentioned Facebook Marketplace, and he gave us about maybe two or three more apps that we can use. I'm back on YouTube. Punch in 20,000 dollars per month, and let's go through what pops up on my screen. And then, if you're doing this with me, wherever you are, share with us what you're looking at. First video: how to make $10,000 per month online with no experience. Second video, which is about 12 minutes long, exactly how I make $20,000 per month online. And let's go. This is Joshua Elder. Let's go to Joshua's channel here on YouTube. Now, you can get in touch with Joshua through his website, My Six Figure Formula, or Facebook. Once again, these people are accessible. And you know what? I can't. Go try to find somebody who successfully got in reparations in the African-American community in the United States. We keep on talking about what they want, but forget all that, man. Get me on YouTube where somebody can show me how to get $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 per month. Now. Okay, here's another one. How to build a $20,000 per month nutrition business online. Here we go. This is where I'm sticking on this forever. Now, that's the channel of the Fitnesspreneurs. And we go to the Fitnesspreneurs website, about page on Facebook, or not Facebook, but YouTube. They have a website where you can reach them. They have a hero blog where you can reach them as well. Okay. Let's see. 22-year-old trucker making over $20,000 per month, a complete breakdown of all the road expenses. Austin Hayes. Okay, let's go to Austin Hayes' YouTube channel. Let's click on the about part. Man, these millennials, man, you know, you got to reach him through his comment section. All right, let's see. Year old making $40,000 per month on Amazon. Here's an interesting one. The secret to making $20,000 per month on YouTube, and how many views do you need? Now, this is by an African-American woman. Her channel is Strong Mommy Chrissy. So let's go to Strong Mommy Chrissy's YouTube channel. And you can reach her on Instagram. And I'm going to throw in the comment section of YouTube, but you can reach her through, that's an African-American woman, making $20,000 per month via YouTube. But there's so many people on here. Just go through and pick. Here's one that I like. I've been studying. Make Money Blogging, How We Build $100,000 Per Month Blog in 10 Steps in 2019. And this is by, their channel is called Create and Go. And you go to their YouTube channel, and they have a link called How to Start a Blog. They have a Facebook page, Pinterest page, Instagram page, and I already said a Facebook page. And like I say, it's how to live on, or hold it. 10 to $20,000 per month. That's an African American guy. Now here's one in Euro. Want to earn €5,000, €10,000, €20,000 per month. What's the name? Iwa Pizrak. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Let's go to her channel. Well, you're going to reach her through the comments again.
Hi, everyone.
It just goes on and on. Here's one guy. Is he African American? Yeah, earn $30,000 a month online. Another one, how to make an easy $20,000 per month. Now, most of these people, I'll say this. It might not be easy to start. I mean, the steps might be simple, but it might not be easy when you start, because everybody's got a different situation. But the more you do it, you know, you'll pick it up. And the key is you got to find something that you want to do or love to do. All right, there are people on here earning there's one guy out of Korea. This dude, oh, he makes like $4 million a year teaching English. Now, a big part of that is he's collaborating with other people to help him do that. All right, matter of fact, he might be at the point where he doesn't even actually teach anybody anymore. He's just got the $4 million business that teaches people, that set up systematically to teach people English. So we shall be, that we announced yesterday, we have something where you can earn and learn right here on It's My House. I'm going to take on maybe just a limited amount of people, probably 10 or 11 people tops. We got one yesterday. People that want to know about that, we'll share it with them. All right, so that's about it for me. If anybody's got any announcements or anything like that, call 619-768-2945 and press 1, and then you can make your announcements or any trending topics that are coming up. And every night, Monday through Friday, there's another podcast, Strictly Business. That's with Pleasant Steffens. And Let's see. I guess this is one announcement. Okay, this is let me open it up. Okay. Okay, this is from Void Houston. Meet Warren Houston of the People's Law Study Group in downtown Houston. So what we shall do right now is we're going to post this in our see if I can do it. Why did I receive this? All right, wait a minute. Okay, here we go. Share. I'm trying to put it in our Facebook group. All right, I just loaded it to my page. All right, let's see. And once again, while I'm trying to figure this out, if anybody's got any announcements, 619-768-2945 is the number to call into. Okay. Now, let's... okay. If you go to our Facebook page, which is eCommerceville, that's eCommerceville, V-I-L-L-E, one word, eCommerceville, e-commerce social network. I just posted an article about Warren Houston, Warren Houston of the People's Law Study Group in downtown Houston. So I'm going to give it a thumbs up on that. And I already posted it to my go check that out. Warren's on here occasionally giving us information that we definitely need. Okay, let's see. All right, so right now I've got one e-commerce partner. So, Robin, I'll be calling you a little bit later. So because I sent her the pictures yesterday. And then we'll discuss a few other things and go from there. On that part, on that note, man, you know what? On the first of the month, it's like people out there scrambling. But anyway, man, everyone have a good rest of the day.